So in this way, every day, the pastimes are going on, and there are all these parallel realities in the spiritual world. The reality of Krishna in his different relationships with different devotees. Mother Yasoda sees her reality, and how Krishna is skinny and not eating. When Nanda Maharaj is told that Krishna is so wonderful, then Nanda says, "What do you mean? This boy is very lusty. That we give him the best things at home. We feed him the very best. And then, after he has had breakfast at home, and so many are cooking for him, then he goes and eats at the neighbor's. And he has breakfast again there." And that's not everything. He goes from house to house, and he just keeps on having breakfast. And then, and still, he's not satisfied with that. Then he goes out stealing butter and yogurt. Therefore, I don't understand why you're saying that he is very wonderful. Rather, he is very lusty, this boy. Problem case, I would say. So that is Nanda Maharaj's his perception. And meanwhile, Yasoda is, "Oh, Mother Lalita, make condensed milk with sugar and camphor. Oh, Vishaka, quickly make lemonade. Shashi Lekha, make shikarini, a yogurt drink. Daughter Champakalata, make buttermilk. Oh, Tungavidya, daughter, make amliksa, milk drink mixed with all suitable ingredients of different varieties. Oh, Mother Chitra, make matchandira, a sugar candy drink. Oh, Vasanti, make white sugar cake. Oh, Mangale, make jalebis. Oh, Kadambari, make camphor pie. Oh, Sudevi, make sweet rice. Oh, Rangadevi, make cane sugar pie. Oh, Lasikaka, make ladders of sugar, ground rice and grapes. Oh, Kumari, make many kinds of puns. Oh, Mother Malalasa, make moon white cakes. Oh, Sasimuka, carefully make sweet rice with curd. Oh, Sumuki, you make tasty sweet pie. Oh, Manumati, make different cakes of ground rice. Oh, daughter Kanchanavali, make ladus of whole wheat and ghee. Oh, Manorame, make Manohar ladus. Oh, Ratnamali, make Motichuri ladus. Oh, Madhavi, make sesame sweets by frying huskless sesame sweets. Then you can cut a square sesame pie. Oh, Vindhya, make a basket-shaped sweet pie by frying whole wheat and barley, first in ghee and then in sugar water. Then you can make a split pea pie. Oh, Rambe, you make karamba, cornmeal mixed with yogurt, with banana cooked in sugar on a golden plate. Oh, Manogye, squeeze out ripe mangoes and keep them in condensed milk with sugar. Oh, Kilimbe, make ghee from the milk which is taken from the gau Suganda this morning and from which I churned yogurt. Oh, Ambike, slowly stir the milk that King Nanda personally milked from the cow named Dalala, and which he sent here for Krishna and Balaram's consumption. Oh, girls, swiftly go to my milk storehouse, which is fitted with big sifting spoons, clay pots, and wooden bowls. So as we and it goes on. And Krishna is a small eater. Says Mother Yasoda. Nanda Maharaj very eagerly sent Krishna back from the meadows. Then Krishna saw that his mother was very eagerly looking out for him by the town gates, her eyes filled with tears and her dress moistened with milk flowing from her breast out of parental love. Seeing Krishna approaching, Mother Yasoda said, "Come, my child, come quickly. Why didn't you come home despite being hungry? Why are you giving me sorrow? We've prepared different dishes for you with great care, but they're getting cold." Saying this, Mother Yasoda caressed her son with her sprout-like hand. eager to bring Krishna's friends in her home. She spoke to them with a voice melting out of love. "Oh boys, my son does not eat much without you, being eager to join you again in the play after eating. Therefore I wish that you come to my home to eat with my restless boys. Oh sons, you've all become hungry, so quickly come home, quickly go home, dress, bathe and ornament yourself and come to my house to eat." Hearing this, the boys joyfully went home, while Queen Yasoda took Krishna, Balaram and Madhu Mangal home. When Mukunda came home, he showered the thirsty, dried the chatter bird-like gopis with the waterfall of his personal sweetness, while he drank the sweet effulgent nectar of their moon-like faces with his own two chakora bird-like eyes. Seeing Krishna coming to the bathing guys, a servant named Saranga took all his ornaments and dressed him in a clean, thin, contracted bathing dress. Krishna happily sat down on a good seat, and a servant named Patri washed his lotus feet with a stream of fragrant water poured out of a shining golden pot by a servant named Patraka. Then Patri dried off those lotus feet with a towel. A barber's son named Subanda smeared Krishna's limbs with soft Narayan oil and then lovingly massaged his body. Another servant named Sugandha massaged Krishna's limbs with a yellow, ever-cool unguent, which is even softer than a pile of butter. While he gently massaged Krishna, Sugandha was overwhelmed with affection. Just when we hear such things, we can appreciate how close deity worship is to the eternal activities of the spiritual world. We're bathing the deities, we are dressing the deities, and so on. And others may think, oh, it's all ritual. But this is not ritual at all. This is like caring for Krishna personally. That is why being on the altar is like being in the spiritual world. Of course, who are we to be there? Therefore, when we receive second initiation, then at that time we receive authorization to go on the altar on the basis of strict principles. We cannot on the altar just move around and do anything we like. Rather, we are there to act according to prescribed duty. Because right now, we cannot serve Krishna out of love. We can only serve Krishna out of prescribed duty. But understanding that he is the Supreme Lord. Understanding that he is a young boy. Prabhupada said, Krishna has a powerful appetite. Therefore, for Krishna, we must always cook very opulent. Not diet food for Krishna. Nothing like that. For Krishna, everything very rich, nicely fried and with lots of cream, like puris filled with cream. Not bad. Did you ever try puris filled with cream with some carob coating? You never tried? You did? You sure?
Not carob, but just cream.
There you go. Cheating again. Such things exist. Such things are all available. So, what we are experiencing at present is only a beginning. It's only a lifting of the veil of the spiritual world. Now, in the association of the Vaishnavas, sometimes ecstatic moments, other times we experience austerity. In the spiritual world, there is no austerity. It's like, it's only blissful. It's only nectar. Again and again, the same service. How wonderful. Ever fresh. That is the nature of devotional service. Now, what can we understand of such things? even hearing such descriptions, such pastimes, is nice, but at the same time, how deeply are we really affected? We say, yes, it's nice, very nice. And then, after a while, we say, but what's on the other channel?
The mind
can only hear so long, and then you get restless, you want something more. Chanchalam himana Krishna, because that is the nature of the conditioned mind, that we cannot stay very long focused on one thing. We always change again and again, always want something else. Well, still sometimes we hear a little about this, about the spiritual world. Of course, not able to really penetrate into that realm. That's not my soul. Of course, not really be able to penetrate in that transcendental realm, but something we catch, a little bit, then we are going back to our own everyday life here in the material world, in our bodily existence, and we want to be happy. We want to be happy now. That's quite important. But then there is a cut-off point, and that's what was the topic this morning in the Bhagavatam, which was 9:19:19, and it was all like about Vanaprastha and going to the forest after 50, and how in the forest, but how we should go to the forest of Vrindavan and so on. I think so. There is a cut-off point where we say, okay, we try to be happy in the material world, but after 50, that should not be so important anymore. See, after 50, it is what it is. Okay, the basics are necessary, but beyond that, just, you got your share, whatever it was. Whether it was a lot or a little, what can we do? Everyone gets a share. And then, accordingly, according to that share, yes, we say, all right, that was it. Now, focus on Krishna. Focus on that relationship with Krishna. What else is left? I have one disciple. She's been my disciple, it's a lady. She's been my disciple for quite a long time now. Must be 12 years or so. And just before I met her, she had cancer, and then she had a tumor in the chest, which was something like 5 kilos. Yeah, so they took out this huge tumor. But she survived it, and she's fine. She's really like... So then I called her Ananya, which means like, nothing else. It's like, for you, now there's Ananya, there's nothing else. Nothing else. Now it's only Krishna, only Bhakti. Ananya Bhakti. I just called her Ananya. Nothing else. So, but everyone comes to that stage. You say there's nothing else. Of course.
And happiness in the material world, all right,
but not in a sinful way. not in a forbidden way, only in the authorized way. Krishna authorizes, so then we just follow that, whatever Krishna authorizes. It's very simple. Nice. Oh yes, there is a much bigger picture. So many lives we've already spent, and it's time that we return to this eternal situation. I'm thinking, yes, I want to, but I also want some fulfillment now, in this life. I don't want to miss out, you know. I mean, okay, I became a devotee, but do I have to miss out? Don't worry about it. It's so insignificant, actually. The spiritual world is really what matters when we hear these descriptions of Krishna waking up in the morning, performing his transcendental pastimes. Then we can appreciate that everyone is a servant. Everyone is a servant in these pastimes with great eagerness. And we see how Srimati Radharani is the supreme servant, and she's worshipped. But at the same time, she's the main cook also. She's being carried in a palanquin. She is like, servants wake her up, servants dress her in the morning, servants all the way, but then she's there cooking and perspiring, and with great eagerness and love. Although Yasoda is the queen of Vrindavan and has so many servants, she is herself very active and eager. It's said that Mother Yasoda has chosen the best cows of the herd, and she feeds those cows the best grasses. And those best grasses, they are taken by these cows, and in this way they produce the best milk, and from that best milk she makes the best milk sweets, in the hope that Krishna will stop stealing somehow or other, that he'll get over it, you know. I mean, what to do? She hopes that it's a phase, you know, and that as he grows older and becomes more aware of, like, you know, what's right and wrong, that he'll give up this inappropriate behavior. She's hoping, as a mother. So all these descriptions are written by the acharyas, who were completely residing in the spiritual world. What did they care about this material world? Material world? No meaning at all. Sometimes the word anatta, stumbling block on the path of material existence, was addressed in discussions with Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes he said that the whole material world is an anatta. Just material world, right off. Of course, for us that sounds like a little drastic. The whole material world, right off. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, some things are nice. You don't want to write them off. I mean, you know, And it's you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to write it off at all. Because that's in Bhakti Yoga, we are not following that rigid type of renunciation of the impersonalists. The impersonalists, for them, the entire material world is Maya. But for us, no. We simply engage matter in Krishna's service. And then at the same time, we also can use it ourselves. The servants of the king also live in a palace. So, why we have to write off the whole material world? We won't write it off, we'll just offer it to Krishna. The whole thing. Oh, depends. The brahmachari will say, no. Only those things that are practical for offering, otherwise. So like that. Anyhow, we follow our path. And that is fine. A path of our choice. Either a path like connecting to this morning, either a path of renunciation or a path of engaging so many things in Krishna's service. That's okay. Krishna's service is the essence. Dhruva Maharaj, as a child, Dhruva Maharaj turned to the Supreme Lord. It was his mother that instructed him to go, that no one could help him. No one can help you, my boy. Your father, he loves her more than me. Therefore, your father, who doesn't love your mother, cannot do anything. He cannot allow you to sit on his lap when she says no. Well, Dhruva wasn't ready to take no for an answer. There must be a solution. There is a solution. I'm sure there is a solution. She said, no. Nothing I can do. He said, no, this is not possible. Something must be done. Something must be possible to be done. And she said, only the Lord. Only the Lord can help. Okay, where is he? Well, they say that he's in the forest. That was it. Dhruva went to the forest, performed his austerities, this, that. At one point fasting, at one point eating just some leaves from trees, at one point drinking every other day, at one point only breathing sometimes and then stopping breathing altogether, and the whole universe suffocated. It is dead. And the Supreme Lord appeared before Dhruva. And Dhruva got so many benedictions, became a great pure devotee. Later, Dhruva became king, and then we know that later, somehow or other, the Yakshas, those who are residing in the Himalayas, they killed his brother. And then Dhruva went there, and he started to fight with all these Yakshas, and he was just killing them like by huge numbers. So, then, at one point, his grandfather, and also Kuvira, two elders came. And while Dhruva was all caught up in responding to the woes of this world, although he was a devotee, he still became caught up
in the passion of the circumstances. But Swayambhuva Manu and Kuvira were different. They were aloof. They were aloof. They were just spending their time in worshipping the Supreme Lord. That's all they were doing. And in deep contemplation on transcendental knowledge. And nothing else. In other words, they were aloof, not involved. And so, but for Dhruva, they came down and they actually instructed him not to do this, not to kill all these innocent yakshas. He said, a yaksha may have killed your brother, but that doesn't give you the right to kill all the yakshas. So now you should stop. So then Dhruva stopped. So it's interesting. So different faces in our life are there, and that is fine. Happiness, yes, let there be happiness, but not compromised, not contaminated, because when we are compromised, then naham prakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavita, then Krishna covers himself. Then we lose all taste for chanting. We lose all taste for hearing about Krishna. Whereas by serving the Vaishnavas, one develops taste for this hearing about Krishna. Then it awakens. Sushusho shadadamasya vasudeva kutaruchi sammahat sevya vipa punya tirtan sevya. So this is, tonight we are in an intimate circle, guru with disciples. So you are all disciples, those who have committed to the discipline of following the transcendental path under the direction of the spiritual master. So therefore, we are now in an intimate circle. We are in the circle of devotees. Therefore, I felt, all right, let me speak a little bit about pastimes of the spiritual world, just to awaken some taste. Of course, understanding that when we hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their associates, it's wonderful, but there's one problem. That all the personalities that we are hearing about, their love for Krishna is greater than ours. And therefore, how can we understand their feelings? We know love, at least we think so. You know, I think yes. We also have our mother, and most of us, under normal circumstances, love our mother. But nothing like the relationship between Krishna and Yasoda. The love is not only coming from the side of the devotee, but also from the side of Krishna in reciprocation. So in that way, when we hear such pastimes, we are in one sense outsiders, because we lack in love. So we can hear, but we cannot enter. We cannot enter. When the liberated souls hear these very same descriptions, they hear it on a totally different level. Yeah. They hear it, they are much more affected than we are. To them, it awakens their love. just like Srila Rupa Goswami is describing the nature of devotion. And in the nature of devotion, he's saying that may this nature of devotion be a transcendental resting place to Sanatana Goswami. And of course, to all the devotees. The nature of devotion is a resting place for all the devotees, because it's there where so many descriptions about Krishna are there. It's full of taste. Prabhupada says in the beginning of the book that it's all about taste. He says nothing moves without taste, and there is lots of taste in the nectar of devotion. So it is about taste. But then for Sanatana Goswami, this nectar of devotion is a transcendental resting place to give him some relief from the feelings of separation from Krishna. Due to deep attachment to Krishna, Sanatana Goswami is experiencing separation from Krishna. For us, this nectar of devotion and the descriptions about Krishna is also a transcendental resting place to give us some relief from the material energy, from the burning pleasures of lust, from the just a little bit of devotional shelter in the midst of a world of Maya. That's for us the nectar of devotion. Or in the same way, that is for us the Govinda Lilamrita. So we approach such literatures in a different way than the liberated souls. But still, some inspiration is there. So sometimes we hear these kind of pastimes. And it continues, of course. And at one point we find in this Govinda Lilamrita a description of Radha Kunt. And in that description of Radha Kunt, we find how on four corners of Radha Kunt there are four swings which are bedecked with jewels. But we didn't see those. We didn't see. To us this Radha Kunt, we have seen maybe the DVD from Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. And it's very inspiring. And he shows us all the different temples. He also shows us a tree where the branch is turned. And we're running Krishna have swing pastimes. But no jewels I have seen. So the point is, Naham Pakasasa Vasya Yoga Maya Samavita Avrita, covered. Krishna remains covered. Gradually uncovers himself. So that we appreciate. So, but tonight we're speaking a little bit just to kind of get a glimpse of where it's going. Of the eternal situation with Krishna, and slowly we are getting qualified. No one is qualified. Everyone is fallen. Everyone is iccha dvesa samuttena dvanda mahena bharata. Every living being in this world is covered by the qualities of lust and envy. Who wants to be a servant?
There is
a famous piece of literature in the world history written by Danta, Dante is Inferno, a description of hell. And at one point, one of the personalities in that book says, better a king in hell than a servant in heaven. And that sums it up, kind of. That's the root. So to be a servant is, so here in the spiritual world, in the material world, we cannot really serve Krishna directly. We are especially serving the spiritual master. So in this stage, we are practicing on our spiritual master. Basically, it's like, you know, sometimes there's the cooking class, and at the end, they invite you to come and taste it. You know, so. quite good. Maybe still needs a little adjustment, but getting there, no, definitely. nice. Yeah, so like that. Now we are practicing on our spiritual master. So that in due course of time, we will qualify to serve Krishna directly. Because one day the spiritual master will take us by the hand to Krishna and leave us there, introduce us, and say, yes, now you can serve. This is actually, Srila Prabhupada explained like that. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj was given that opportunity. In the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj is given that opportunity to serve Krishna directly. But Prahlad Maharaj said that, no. He said, no. I am only here because of my spiritual master. Therefore, I can never give up the service of my spiritual master. And in that way, Prahlad Maharaj asked the Lord to please grant him the benediction that he could eternally serve his spiritual master. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is so refined. Refined sentiments, refined dealings, and we're not used to that. We are gross in our dealings with other people, you know. no refinement, but gradually one has to develop refined spiritual sentiments of being a servant and trying to please. I like that example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wanted to go to Vrindavan and leave Jagannath Puri. And Ramananda Rai was every time coming up with some new objection. He was saying, no, now is not a good time to go, because soon the rainy season will start. And then when you go on the way to Vrindavan and the rains start, then it will become very troublesome. So better you wait till after the rains and then start the long journey. So, okay, that means half a year more, poor. So, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was indebted by the service attitude of Ramananda Rai, he stayed. He stayed to oblige him. But then, After 6 months, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I wanted to go to Vrindavan, but I sacrificed that, you know, to please you. So now, please grant me that I can go. And then what could Ramananda Roy say? Because for 6 months, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had adjusted for his sake. So therefore, Mahaprabhu had made a sacrifice on his behalf. So therefore, when the request came the second time, he couldn't refuse. And then he had to allow him to go. Because this time he had become indebted. Yeah. So this whole thing of exchanging between people and becoming indebted, that is relationship. That doesn't exist on the gross platform in the material world, where things are more self-centered. From, well, you know, I don't like you anymore because, you know, lately you haven't been as funny as you used to be. Sorry, but you know. Betrayed you in that. So like this kind of cheap self-centeredness, somewhat self-centered. No sense of indebtedness, but relationship is very much based on indebtedness. And that we see the sacrifice that others are making. So the relationship between Krishna and his devotees is like that. The relationship between guru and disciple is also like that. It's based on indebtedness. The disciple has to kind of try to capture the guru by doing something, you know, by which the guru feels, wow, this disciple, this person, really like went out of his or her way to do something really nice. That's when the mercy starts flowing. In the same way, the spiritual master is naturally making a sacrifice, because he's different. He's not like everybody else, and he is reliable. He's trustworthy because he's living it, and what nobody does, going against the current. In a river, it's never easy to go against the current. But somehow or other, he goes against the current. And therefore, we feel indebted. We feel indebted because we see that, okay, he speaks the truth and he lives the truth. So we are indebted for this. So all these things are a part of spiritual relationship, of service. We see that all of these devotees in the spiritual world, they are all competing with each other for Krishna's attention. You can see Krishna is Yasoda, she wants him to eat. She wants to bathe him, but there is no question of doing that, because first the cows, they are Vaishyas and they're all serving the cows. And the cows are so eager, there's no doubt about it. The calves are released and they need to drink some milk. And after all, they're calves. But their mothers will not allow them. No way. Until Krishna has milked. So Krishna has to now wake up. Krishna has to now first, all right, Mother Yasoda quickly washes his face, but then off to the cow barn and start milking the cows so that they allow their calves to drink, so that everything can go on. So see, Mother Yasoda is indebted to the cows. Their whole life, all their life is sustained by the cows. The cows are supplying unlimited foodstuffs. It is their wealth in their life is the cows. And their life is dedicated to repaying their debt to the cows by nicely looking after them and serving them. So you see this element of debt and how each devotee is doing such nice service that they capture Krishna for a while. And then the next devotee does such nice service that then the next devotee captures Krishna for a while. And these are spiritual relationships. So it's refined based on indebtedness. And therefore it is considerate of others' feelings, you see. But we are the opposite. We tread on toes, we barge in, we just like elbow our way through, we just are like bulldozers, because we lack the refinement of appreciation. If we appreciate, if we feel the indebtedness, then it can be done. It cannot be done by etiquette. This is the rule. One must always be respectful to the Vaishnavas. This is the rule. No. That's like being polite. My favorite example of being polite is that it's a form of hypocrisy. Right? How are you? So nice to see you. Do come in. Thought bubble. Oh God, yeah. Okay, how do I get rid of them? Yeah. Oh gosh. You know, usually once they're in the door, you don't get them back out. You know, oh, do come in. You know? So there's politeness, it's a form of hypocrisy. So etiquette also has some element of hypocrisy because you're acting humble, but you're not humble at all. Dear Prabhu, please accept my most respectful obeisances. Who do you think you are anyway, you know? But I'm offering my obeisances first, you know? It's like, it's not very advanced, this devotee. It's not like, he's always kind of slow with the obeisances, you know. I beat him every time. Just see how we are functioning on etiquette. But if we become more refined, the etiquette is certainly tempering our grossness. It is certainly tempering our gross behavior. But now we have to become really refined. Oh, what does it mean, really refined? You know? Sometimes you're eating somewhere and then they put three different spoons next to your plate, you know, and you wonder, like, which one is for the soup and which one is for the dessert and which one is, you know, it's just like. And of course, if you're really educated, then you know which spoon is for which purpose, you know. But that's, and they think that's refined. But that's the perverted reflection. Real refinement is simply that we are aware of this indebtedness. And that we are, because then we become very sensitive and we become, you know, we start reciprocating. And that's where it begins. Otherwise, in this world, everybody is alone. A world of strangers, walking past strangers. Thinking of Frank Sinatra, Strangers in the Night. Exchanging glances. For how long? For a moment. A moment of closeness, sharing something, and then again, drifting apart. Because no indebtedness. No indebtedness. So this is what we require in our relationships, and this is where we'll change. So this is something to think about, to contemplate, the debts that we owe to others, especially to other devotees. Of course, you know, like you read about one of our acharyas was Gopal Guru Goswami, and his disciple is Janachandra Goswami. And then Janachandra Goswami, he begins every day by offering his obeisances to the earth on which he sits, right? Thanking the earth. And then he goes on and on, like he's really good at it, you know, like offering obeisances to all those that he owes, that he's indebted to. So that is there. But then you come to indebtedness to the Vaishnavas, and then the debt is so much greater. And that debt, yes, that we are sensitive of and thinking about. And then you get the finer Vaishnava sentiments. Okay, someone's talking now. So that was the official part. I thought it's basically a disciple get together, and I think, what shall I do with it? You know, just sort of sit and just chat, you know. That, I think that will be, you know, a little bit sort of an update. How is everybody? And nice to see you all, and type of thing. And so. That part's coming now. But now that part's got a different dimension, because now that part, this has our mutual indebtedness. Our relationship is not based on physical attraction, right? Our relationship is not based on an advantage. Well, you know, it's like, it's who you know in this world kind of relationship, right? Yeah, it's who you know. That's not the basis of our relationship. Our relationship is really based on what we do for each other. That's where the relationship becomes meaningful, from both ways, you know what I'm saying? It's like from guru to disciple and from disciple to guru. That's where it becomes meaningful. What are we doing for each other? And, you know, so in that way, I can say, well, nice to see you. No, nice to see you, because you're all doing things, and all have done so many things, and I'm remembering that. And some, of course, you know, what can I say, you know, some gave a post-dated check. Right? I will do a lot in the future, so I'm still waiting. I had a French teacher And he had been in the Foreign Legion. You know, the Foreign Legion, they fight in the Sahara Desert, right? And he had been in the Foreign Legion, and then he came out. And he was 1.50 meters tall, so he's very short, but he was also 1.50 meters round, you know? So he was like a ball with legs, right? And he was like a really, a man with a very fiery temperament, you know, very quick. And he spoke French, you know, he was teaching French. And then he would, he was not afraid to give somebody a good slap also. So he had, the whole class was scared of him. And then sometimes he would pull out these sheets of paper and you get an unexpected test. And then we'd sit there, and then he would just drum on the desk during the test with his fingers. And he was good at it. And it got louder and louder. As the time was running out. Oh, God. It was intense. Yes. So the we must do something. Of course, I'm saying it to myself, you know, like I'm sitting here in both roles. On the one hand, a disciple. And on the other hand, a teacher. And as a disciple, well, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to be a disciple. You don't get it for nothing. It's not that I get it for nothing and you all get the hard work for being a disciple. No, for me also, it's hard work. But, still remembering my French teacher. Unexpected tests may come. So yeah, let us... anyway, nice to see you all. And some of you came from all over the country, so that's appreciated. Because somehow or other, because of this sort of Vaishnava sentiments, you get caught up in all kinds of exchanges. So last year, the GVC body asked me to write this report about Mayapur. Now, it was a managerial report about just where Mayapur is at. Now, this is a part of me that I don't like, the manager. I personally don't like him at all. But somehow or other, ISKCON always liked the manager. And I used to be a manager in Mayapur and Vrindavan also, but also in Mayapur. So yeah, when they asked, it was a difficult request because I didn't really want to do it. But on the other hand, I also knew that I was one of the few people who really knew the place inside out, you know, knew how to do it. Because I'm at home there. And since I've managed for so many years. Okay. So I did that. I wrote that report, and then and I made many recommendations. And then they really took it. You know, usually they give a report and then say, well, they say, oh, thank you very much, and that was really nice, and you know, and that's it, you know. And then you go home and job done, right? But this time they really took my report and all my recommendations and start to implement many of them. So then, you know, it sort of forced me to help them a little bit more. Right? And then in the process of this report, I interviewed 100 people and I found Hridaya Chaitanya from Radhadesh, who is a very sincere hard worker. And he was interested in doing something for Mayapur. So then I hypnotized him and got him to agree to spend 6 months in Mayapur every year as a GBC and as a director, which is heavy duty. So then he took revenge. And then he had the executive committee ask if I would spend 4 months a year in Mayapur. Now I've anyway been spending 2 months a year in Mayapur, so I finally agreed, okay then, three. But the last so many years I was in Mayapur relaxing. Now, it's no longer relaxing. Now, it's insane. I've been working like anything as an advisor on how to reorganize Mayapur. And at the same time, I've been continuing teaching and continuing kirtans, etc. So I work like a horse. That's usually the time when I sort of rejuvenate. Well, this time, I'm finished. So that's why, okay, I'm usually come in December and do a tour of South Africa and then go all over the country. This time I said, forget it, no time, you know, like, so I said, okay, I'll just come for Ketan Ratiyatra. But I must say, I come to relax now. So exactly how to do it, I'm not sure, but I need to relax a bit. So we'll have a Ratiyatra and sort of in that Cape Town mood, you know, really get laid back. A laid back Cape Town Ratiyatra. And I try getting a Cape Town mood. Yeah. Be laid back for a change. I don't know how to do it because I'm more the Joburg type, I think. Always in the fast lane. Like in America, you've got East Coast, West Coast. And the West Coast is just California sunshine. And I hate it. I hate California. I'm more a New Yorker. What to do? I want to get something done. But I'm here to relax. That's the plan. So with your help, I'm sure it will be done. But while we're relaxing, we can also do some stuff. Why not? But all in a very relaxed way. So this is where I'm at. So in case somebody thought I was going to lead kirtans that are explosions of explosions, forget it. I'm not going to explode. I'm not doing it. Of course, exploded a little bit yesterday. But I'm not planning it. Planning to relax. Okay, so now comes the interactive part of the evening. So you can all tell us what brought you here. In some cases, I know, that group meeting I took. You're not coming. I sent her a WhatsApp. So thanks for coming. And Manasi just, it's amazing how many people you put in that car. How many people were in the car?
Six.
Six, huh? Nice. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, it'll be nice vessel,
I think. Every day now, plane loads of people are flying in to celebrate Christmas in Cape Town. From all over the world, from all over the country. Christmas is here. That's how it is. So, it's in that way, very nice time to have around the country. And, we've always had interesting response this week. Last year the Muslim ladies were sitting in the Q&A, all covered up and everything. And so that was a pretty, pretty good. So, who wants to say something and during this interactive part, where I'm so far just interacting with myself? How are you today, Swami? Well, quite okay, considering. You have these robots on the airports now. That talk to you, these little men, and then roll up to you. There's one in Frankfurt on the airport. How are you? Where have you just come from? And then you say where you come from. Oh, that's a long flight. Because it knows how long the flights are from the different places, so it can say, oh, that's a long flight. Was it comfortable? Yeah. All conversations. Yeah, it's going that way. Yeah, robots. That's the future.
I have a question based on your class, like your reader. You know, we have. And it's explained that there's five different moods of relationship with Krishna, and all of those different bhavas, we have you could say like different leaders, in, you know, in Saikyaras, it's Subal and Sridhar, and
you can desire to be Krishna's flute.
Yeah, you know.
I was reading that yesterday, so that's also one. Someone was always whistling.
So my question is, we heard how, you know,
is there more light here? It's so dark. I mean, I know it's romantic, but I don't see anything. I guess, you know. Yeah, go on. So different rasas, and you may desire a different rasa.
Yeah. So my question is, well, in the description, we heard how Mother Yashoda was saying, when Purnamasi got there, was saying how she's the most worshipable person in Braj. So my question is, in what category does she fall under?
She is a Brahmana, and Purnamasi is a Brahmana, and she's the wife of Sandipani Muni. And she's been sent to Vraj. Yeah. So, therefore, she is a Brahmani, and she is the wife of the spiritual master, and she is herself very transcendental. She's elderly, and therefore, she's accepted by all as like a great spiritual authority. So, therefore, even Krishna, when he wakes up, sort of after his mother has sort of put the wet cloth in his face, is also, say, offering his obeisances to that noble lady. So if even Krishna is offering obeisances to her, then you can understand that she is worshipable by all.
So,
and Madhu Mangal is her son.
Oh.
Mm.
So is she in Vatsalya Ras?
Maybe. Guess so. She's not like so active in that way. She's more organizing the pastimes. It's like orchestrating the pastimes. So she's like a facilitator for others' rasas, very much so. So she's not very much displaying a particular mood herself. She's always eager to bring the various parties together. So she's always trying to bring Radha and Krishna together. And there's always many obstacles for Radha and Krishna to meet, especially Jatila. Mm. Interactive part, very interactive, yes. Get active. Yes, with me.
Maharaj, you're saying how the altar is a spiritual world.
Yeah.
But at least I find in personal worship of deity, can become mechanical, 10-minute puja and get on the lights.
Yeah. Kind of. True. It can be. Yeah. But then, if we every day try to do something special, then it doesn't. That's the trick. See, if you just do like the standard every day, then it becomes mechanical. But if you go a little bit beyond and you try and do something extra, that's where it keeps its freshness. Because then immediately you're on another platform. And you get on the platform of trying to do something extraordinary. And that's the way to get out of any mechanical relationship, because not only with the deity, but also, you know, any relationship. Yeah. In the marriage also, it's like that. It becomes mechanical after a while. Here's your brekkie, but then one day you go out of your way, you know, and make like a special brekkie. And he goes like, whoa, whoa, what's that? Oh, brekkie. Okay. Well, I'll have some of that. Then, you know, there's some magic that comes from making special endeavor. That's the nature of relationship. So deity worship is all about the relationship. So by doing something special for our deity, then it comes to life. Yeah, you have to be careful also. It may go away. Yeah. What if Krishna comes in a dream and says, now I want to go with your name, with your maiden? I have to be careful. Mechanical. Mm. 103.
Does that come naturally, or should it be taught because it's not easy for people to see their own shortcomings?
It comes naturally, but I guess partially we're being taught, we're being made aware. Like, you know, tonight I try to create some more awareness, then we can think about it and then we can see it also more consciously. So scripture is kind of bringing out this point of being indebted many times. And it's like, remember how I told I was indebted to Mahavirya and you helped me to find his phone number with your Facebook Shakti? Okay, I don't know how you did it, but you did it, you know, something that is impossible for me, you know? No, serious. I mean, I don't have that mystic power that I could possibly get that number. I wouldn't have an idea. I was looking for him for a long time. And then you just like, it was nothing for you. No, because you, different people have different powers, and like, for her it's nothing, you know, like scout out somewhere, someone in the middle of nowhere, get a phone number. She had it done in no time. So I'm indebted to you for that. Yeah. Then I gave him a call, and then he was speaking about, don't trust a guru who doesn't dance. And then I wrote my Vyasa Puja offering based on that. And then Dravida, the editor, said, no, this we have only Achyutananda ever said this, and we are not accepting this as a reliable quote. There is no second person. So the BBT has a policy, unless there are two people. And he sent me this. He said, therefore, I've changed your offering. I said, he had changed my offering. I said, I've taken that part out. And I go like, but that was the whole essence of the whole thing. That was what the whole thing was based on, you know. And then he told me, and he said, well, you know, I said, well, you gotta let me make some changes. He said, well, you can't really make any more changes because everything is already laid out. The whole thing is laid out. So then I had to rewrite. I rewrote the offering, about 50% of my Vyasa Puja offering, rewrote it, and I puzzled till I had exactly the same number of letters. You know, I think I had three letters difference, and that was okay because it just moved one sentence a little bit. So I had exactly the same space in the book. So I sent him that. He said, no, this is not possible. Then I explained to him, said, no, it should be possible because it's exactly the same number of letters. And then he grumpy, I guess it is possible. Okay, then. Okay, then. accept it and run out. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm indebted to Raga Lake for giving me the telephone number of Mahan. Yeah, different people have Shakti. Like today, I got a call from my disciple, Dharmananda. Dharmananda can call anybody, anywhere, anytime. And the proof is, once I was walking on the street in a country where I didn't know anybody, and I was just on the street, and the phone of the person next to me, who I didn't know, started ringing. and it was for me. Dharmananda. It's like, this is incredible. He could work for the CIA. Okay, so it's 108 minutes. Yeah, it's a good end, isn't it? Unless somebody gets really active now, then we go for the 109. I don't know, say it's stop now. Okay. We go for that 109.
How much? Going back to the question that Raga Lake asked now about refinement. You find that as devotees, we're coming from different backgrounds, and that different backgrounds means that we had different
experience. Wait, what does refinement mean?
Refinement means that you wait.
Different devotees are coming from different backgrounds and different experiences that we had with different people, and then we come into Krishna consciousness with those kind of, I would say consciousness or expectations. So when we develop relationships with devotees, we already have these kind of expectations or reservations, I would say, where if you had good experiences with different people in your previous life, I would say, then you would obviously have different expectations when you come into devotee association. So my question is, now that we have, how do we then cultivate this mood of refinement, of indebtedness?
We have to begin to see people for what they're worth, not just based on externals. Right? Externally, we're all different, I'm from the Netherlands. Manisigang is from New Zealand. And in New Zealand, they think they have the best cows in the world. And in the Netherlands, of course, we disagree with that, because we think we have the best cows in the world. So we could start a whole argument about cows. Right? We could start if we get into that bath. So many differences between people. So we start to relate to each other for what somebody's really worth, for what they're doing for Krishna. That's what counts. And then you can overcome cultural gaps and any difference between people on the basis of appreciation for the service they're doing. See, then that sense of indebtedness comes. Refinement meant indebtedness. So when he's speaking, say he's expressing his sentiment, so then one should give him space to do that. Because everyone needs some space. Live and let live is part of it. I mean, it's appreciating that we are all sentient beings, we have feelings, and everyone needs appreciation. So everyone needs also an opportunity to express an idea. So give people space. But we must see people for what they're worth, and what they're worth means what they're doing for Krishna. And in that way, we see that all Vaishnavas are not equal. It says that in the beginning, one sees all Vaishnavas as equal. But then one begins to see difference. One begins to see that this Vaishnava is doing more service than another Vaishnava. And that Vaishnava is doing most service, we glorify the most. Of course, we can glorify everyone for the service they're doing. And if you start that, then you start seeing that everyone is doing so much. You've been in Radhadesh, Manasi Ganga, in these glorification sessions, 6 hours or something.
At Christmas,
right. They had this thing for Christmas, just about a little later somewhere, that they just glorify everybody and for everything. So what happens is, you know, they zoom in on everyone and somebody stands up and starts to say something. It's like, for example, you know, Jai Keshavi is the best silver polisher in the world. Honestly speaking. And, well, don't laugh too loud with me, otherwise I'm gonna say. With me, he's good at other things. But, you know, when she polishes the silver, it shines more than when it was new, you know. Yeah, really. The cows are about to jump off the altar. Right? Yeah, serious. It's amazing. They're more than new. Yeah. So I can appreciate. And she sings really nice too. And place the card. Yeah, everyone has good qualities, like Brihat's always fired up. So it's good to have someone who's fired up. Okay, sometimes you want to cool down a little, but still, yeah. It's good. So, what's the end of the program, Prasad? I didn't do any kirtan, but Tribhuvana did in the beginning, so that counts, isn't it? Last, the very last.
I when I heard about this program. I just gotten back from Sankirtan, and I wanted, okay, around there, I found out what it's about. As you're speaking, you said something about why are we here? Why did we come here?
I don't know anything about that.
Okay. Thank you.
No. I don't know what they announced, but what I did is I didn't do that. Because they didn't tell me that anyway. They told me I was just going to be together with my disciples and maybe a few friends that sort of slipped in the door. and that's okay. So it was sort of like a personal exchange. First with Krishna, and then, you know, a bit amongst each other. And then I guess we ended with some prasadam. I don't know where it is, but...
We'll serve it downstairs outside.
You serve it downstairs outside, so it's sort of nowish, I think, 8 o'clock, civilized.
In any case, Maharaj, I just wanted to express my indebtedness to you. That there was a time when I was in deep trouble with my life in general, and I was feeling that actually my only way out was through Krishna, and the only person that I felt at the time could get me to Krishna was you, and I was so I began, even though I'm not deserving, I began chasing you around. Felt like one of those Chinese movies where like the Chinese guy is chasing the Kung Fu master.
Holding chopsticks,
right?
Holding chopsticks.
And and I wanted to express that at that time you assured me that things would be okay, and I felt just by your words, I felt at peace, and I don't mean that I won't. I'm still
okay,
chasing
okay.
you.
Don't like make it too long. That's okay. The thing is this, is that once I was in real big trouble, and then people, they helped me out, and ultimately I made it to the devotees, and that made all the difference. And then that devotee Mahavirya helped me particularly a lot, who at that time, and because without him I don't think I would have stayed, because he was quite well, you know. At the time, things were a little bit, in the Hare Krishna movement, things were a little bit goal-oriented and a little bit impersonal. No one would ever ask anybody, you know, how are you? But Mahavira used to actually take time for people, so that made it possible. So actually, everybody in this movement needs some people who they can connect to and who make it possible, you know, who make it possible for us to fit in. Otherwise, if it's just the process, you know, the highest process, bhakti yoga, then it's very difficult, very difficult. But when there are some people that we can connect to, they make it possible for us. So we're all in the same boat. We're all here because we have some connection with such people. And now it's enough. let's go down with some prasadam, and because it's been 2 hours. Mm-hmm. That's a long time. So, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Keep
jiving.
You have to give that secret. If you don't say Srila Prabhupada, keep jiving, the way the song goes. I tried to hint.